This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A new mural on Water Street in Martinsburg, West Virginia, will depict hidden history and distinct charm.
A lot of the history that I dug up and found to include in the mural was history that I think a lot of people just won't know about until they maybe go to the mural.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. House of Delegates Democratic legislators gathered Monday to outline priorities in the anticipated upcoming special session. Randy Yowie has more.
House Democrats believe there will be a bipartisan effort in a special session on the budget to address issues that are not election year red meat and culture war proposals. They plan to push for promised child care programs, to fix the drastic cuts in the Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities Waiver Program, and to bolster the state's EMS departments. A major issue was reinstating budget cuts of around $150 million in state Medicaid funding. Delegate John Williams from Monongalia County said the effects will be felt by thousands of West Virginians.
It cut millions of dollars from CHIP, kicked children off their health care insurance. It cuts money going to rural hospitals. It cuts money going to teaching hospitals.
It is yet to be determined when and even if a special session will be called. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Randy Yowie in Charleston.
State revenue is down compared to last year. Jack Walker has the details on this trend.
In 2023, Governor Jim Justice signed sweeping personal income tax cuts. These cuts allowed residents to keep more money from their paychecks, but they also meant less money for the state itself. This fiscal year, state revenue is down 12% from the year prior. Sean O'Leary with the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy said that's because of the cuts, plus a collapse in natural gas prices.
So you see income tax revenue not keeping up with last year, and you see severance tax revenue not keeping up with last year. So those are the two main areas.
Despite the decrease in income, the state is still exceeding revenue estimates by more than $522 million. Budget estimates are set by the State Budget Office, a staff agency for the governor. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
Early April showers could cause some flooding and help have fires in the eastern panhandle. Brianna Heaney has more.
The National Weather Service has issued a flood watch for the northern two-thirds of the state. The warning extends until Tuesday night, with more rainfall and severe weather on the way later in the week. John Peck, a meteorologist at the National Weather Service, says residents along waterways need to practice heightened caution and awareness.
Anybody that's in those lower-lying areas or have interest along creeks, streams, and rivers, be advised to move any personal property away from those locations.
The rainfall could be beneficial for the ongoing fires in the eastern panhandle by moistening fields and reducing the potential for wildfires to spread. The wet front is expected to waver north to south throughout the week, rendering it hard to know where some of the heaviest rainfall will likely occur. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
The Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh, is a public radio program that reports on environmental issues in the region. Here's their latest story about proposals to place chemical plastic recycling centers in our region.
Proposed chemical recycling plants have some concerned about pollution and safety. A new series takes a look at the issues. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. Plants for chemical recycling, or what the industry calls advanced recycling of plastics, have been proposed in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia. Christina Marusik, a reporter with Environmental Health News, has a new series about these facilities. Her first story came out on Monday, and I asked her what chemical recycling is.
Chemical recycling is an umbrella term for a bunch of different processes that use heat or chemicals or both to break down plastic waste into parts that can be used either as fuel or to create more plastic. And that's different from traditional recycling, which is also sometimes called mechanical recycling, which breaks down plastic waste physically, but not at a molecular level.
What are the environmental and health concerns around chemical recycling?
chemical recycling is really energy intensive. It's a lot more energy intensive than mechanical recycling. And the process releases some greenhouse gases, which contribute to climate change. And these facilities also emit toxic chemicals and create toxic waste, things like polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, dioxins, a whole bunch of other persistent pollutants, volatile organic compounds, and heavy metals. And those pollutants are associated with health effects like elevated cancer risk, respiratory disease, and damage to kidneys, livers, and nervous systems. The chemicals that are involved in chemical recycling are also really flammable, so these facilities are prone to accidents and fires. Fires and explosions have been reported at chemical recycling plants in Texas and Denmark and Finland, and there's a big facility in Ashley, Indiana, that's had a number of really big fires that were big enough that some workers said they felt their lives were threatened at the time.
Why is the chemical recycling industry looking to this region specifically?
A lot of people don't know that 95% of plastic is made from fossil fuels, maybe even more, upwards of 95%. And this region already has a lot of infrastructure related to the oil and gas industry. So we have fracking wells, we have pipelines, we have kind of established transportation routes, we have compressor stations, we also have the Shell ethane cracker making plastic nurdles to be made into bigger plastics here in Western Pennsylvania. And this existing infrastructure makes it more convenient to put kind of related facilities nearby. Pennsylvania is also one of 24 states that have passed laws reclassifying chemical recycling as manufacturing plants rather than as waste disposal plants, which makes permitting easier and reduces regulatory oversight for these kinds of facilities. Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, and Kentucky have also passed these bills, which are being pushed by the industry and the American Chemistry Council, and it makes the whole Appalachian region and the Ohio River Valley more attractive for these types of facilities.
Christina Marusik is a reporter with Environmental Health News. You can find the first story in her chemical recycling series about a proposed plant in Youngstown at AlleghenyFront.org. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.
The Allegheny Front is based in Pittsburgh and reports on regional environmental news. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Rain and thunderstorms today. Some storms with heavy rain, gusty wind, and hail. High temperatures in the 60s and 70s. Rain and thunderstorms continue tonight, lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission Star Division, presenting Dr. Scott Barry Kaufman Monday, April 15th at the West Virginia Culture Center in Charleston. Details at wvresearch.org. In 2022, Berkeley County celebrated its 250th anniversary. Now the county is looking back at its history through a public art lens. By early June, a mural will be on display in the heart of Martinsburg, tracing the history and culture of Berkeley County over the years. Reporter Jack Walker spoke with Lee Craigie, the artist behind the new mural, about her public art piece so far.
To begin, could you just tell me a little bit about the mural project that you're currently working on?
So I was contacted by the 250th Commemoration Committee for Berkeley County to create a mural depicting a lot of the history that we don't really necessarily learn about. A lot of it was very new to me, even though I did West Virginia history in school and, you know, you learn a lot. A lot of the history that I dug up and found to include in the mural was history that I think a lot of people just won't know about until they maybe go to the mural and start looking at all the details in the mural.
What are some of these aspects of history that you're speaking about that are going to be featured in the mural?
Okay, so a lot of the arts and the agriculture and things that we do know about in Berkeley County and we're proud of are highlighted, but then also just hidden figures. So one of the panels of the portraits of people is Garland Lorenzo Wilson. And he was a jazz pianist in the 20s, African-American man who made it on his own. And it was this, it's just an amazing, inspiring story of a musician who made it. And he ended up going to Paris and playing with all the jazz greats. So he is one of the portraits that's highlighted. And he's definitely somebody I never knew about before.
Gotcha. And I know that this is going to be a pretty massive display. Could you tell me a little bit about what went into the location of this mural and then also what this mural will look like in terms of size and scale?
The building that will locate that this will be located on is on Water Street in Martinsburg, and it'll be 7 10-foot by 10-foot panels depicting the arts, the agriculture, the industry and figures, and also very importantly, the airport. The airport was a really important hub for Berkeley County.
So it sounds like both in terms of the content of this mural and then also its placement very prominently in Martinsburg, that this is something that's kind of trying to very publicly state that these are pieces of Martinsburg history and kind of honor things that are unspoken in terms of Martinsburg narrative. Is that true to how you see this project?
Yes. Yeah, I believe it touches on every aspect of Berkeley County. I worked very hard to make sure all parts of the community and all parts of the county were depicted in the mural. So in the industry panel, we have Musselman Apple. So every part of the county, I went from Hedgesville to Musselman, you know, to all the different areas of the county. And actually the county at this point in history, it goes from the beginning of Berkeley County to the end. So as you're looking at the panels, the very first panel in the background of the arts panel is the outline of Berkeley County as it was at the beginning. So Berkeley County actually went all the way to Berkeley Springs, which is why Berkeley Springs is named Berkeley Springs. And then it shows at the end panel, on the industry panel, it will show the outline of Berkeley County as it is today. So different boundaries and then what those boundaries contained and the history they contained, which is vast. And through every panel at the bottom of every of the 10-foot panels, you'll see a blue ribbon of mosaic tiles that actually represents the Opequan. So the Opequan River runs through the entire county from start to finish. So it runs through my entire mural from start to finish. So it also shows the ecology of the county as well as the history.
And what's the community response been like to this project so far?
So far, wonderful. They just did the, they released the press release and the feedback has been great. And people, I think, are very surprised. And we've kept it very quiet until this moment.
Maybe as a closing question, I'm just curious, you're someone who grew up in Martinsburg, grew up in Berkeley County. What does working on a project for your home county mean to you?
Oh, it means so much. Personally speaking, it just means so much to be able to have this hanging in Martinsburg for years to come, decades to come, and to know that I was able to gift it to the community. I don't see my murals as my art. It's my gift to whatever community the art lives in. So to be able to gift my hometown community with my art is just, I don't really have words. It's very, very profound and exciting to me.
That was muralist Leah Craigie speaking with Jack Walker about her new public art project in downtown Martinsburg. For pictures of the work in progress, visit our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Randy Yowie. Emily Rice produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.